Because of our sinful nature, sometimes we feel an irresistible pull toward making poor choices. Yet our minds are committed to Christ. But even so, we occasionally feel the temptation to yield. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that we don't have to give in. His assertion comes from Romans chapter 6, where Paul wrote these liberating words. Paul said, "We're no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin." Chuck titled today's message, "Needed Changes When Living by Grace."
Once we are converted, once we have come to the cross and trusted in the Lord Jesus, we have been given a new nature that lives alongside the old nature. The old one isn't taken away, it isn't eradicated, but it now has a new nature in there that is able to silence and control and restrain the old nature. Romans 6 talks about how to do that. First, what are we to know? Well, two things. Look for yourself, verse 6. We know, number one, our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. Before I was born again, sin got its way every time. I had no restraining power within me. Now it's different. Sin no longer has its way. I've got a new power, and that empowerment allows me to live free from the slavery to sin. See the end of verse 6? We're no longer slaves to sin. I have a power that I didn't have before, and it's at work within me. Verse 8, since we died with Christ, we know, he says it again, we know we also live with him. So the second thing we know is that just as Christ was raised victoriously with a new life, so we are enabled to live a new life like Christ lives. I'm not simply a fan of Jesus. I'm a follower. The life that he lived qualified him for the death that he died. And the death that he died qualifies us for the life he lived. You know that in your mind, and you realize it in such a way that you will no longer let the old sinful man or woman within you have its way. I am dead to the authority of sin. I now live my life completely different than I lived before I came to Christ. And as a result, Jesus is at work in my life, and I choose to follow him, not the old way of life. Are you ready? That's what you're to tell yourself when you first wake up in the morning. Today, Lord, I'm yours. In fact, see verse 13. Instead, give yourselves completely over to God. Today, Lord, I'm yours. I want to do your work. I want to carry out your will. I want to live in your power, and I thank you that that's possible. As a result, because of your strength, I'm going to say no to all the things I should not be doing and yes to the things that honor you. When I'm sitting on an airplane and the man next to me is watching pornography, I don't look at his screen. I don't even glance there. Why? Because I don't want any part of my life to be attracted to what will hurt me. Because sin will take me to places I don't want to go and keep me longer than I want to stay and will cost me more than I want to pay. Because I know my nature, I could be addicted to that, just as that person may be. I choose to say no to things that will hurt me and will weaken my marriage. Now, so much for me. Back to the subject. You say you want to walk with God. You don't want to just be a fan of Jesus. You want to be a follower. There you have it. Say no. Say no. When you're tempted to retaliate because someone did you wrong, say no. Don't go there. When you want to get your way in this board meeting and the majority is going in another way, you say no. Give in to the opinions of the group. That's the way the rules work in board meetings. When you're serving others and they've done well, don't take the credit. Say no to taking the credit. Give the credit to the one who's earned it. It isn't complicated. It's just in your mind. You know what I'm talking about, men and women? Back to all of us now. A radical transformation in our thinking. You're not a victim. You're not a helpless victim in this big bad world that's beaten up on you. Are you kidding? You have the Lord Christ as your Savior and God. You have Almighty God as your empowerment. You have Christ living within you. Act like it. Act on it. He applauds it when we say no to things that will hurt us. And if I may, hurt his reputation. You represent him. As soon as you're known as a Christian, a watching world is observing your every move. It's a radical way to live, but you can do it. You start the day by saying, "Today, Lord, I'm yours. I'm free not to be, but I choose to be. I'm free to live like I'm not married. I choose to live like I'm married." I love to do that. I have no guilt. I have no conscience that haunts me. I can answer for whatever minute of the day Cynthia wants to know about. And there are no secrets between us. Why should there be? We're married. And the same with our Savior. It's all in the mind. So I determine with a lot of victorious self-talk, "Today is yours, Lord. I take it on, knowing by your grace I'm able to live like this. Help me to do it. When I'm given too much change, give me the strength to give back that which I shouldn't keep. Don't let me take anything that isn't mine, including the credit or money or attention. It's yours, Lord. May I live for you." As I said earlier, it isn't complicated, but I would add this, just to be honest about it with you. It isn't easy, because the old nature is very persuasive. He's been at it all our lives. Furthermore, if you came to know Christ later in life, you formed habits that were very gratifying to yourself. Now that you've come to Christ, there are some changes that have to be made so that as you walk with him, you glorify him. You get out of the way so he can be first. He can be the star of the show. I close with a true story. I was serving a church in another state for several years. The church was made up, just like our church here in Frisco is made up of any number of situations and various size families and singles and formerly married and divorcees and individuals who had come through life the hard way and others who had known the Lord since childhood, just all the full mix. One particular couple was an interesting couple. They married in college. Lived a pretty wild life without Christ, and thanks to the faithful witness of a believer, she came to know the Lord, and then he came to know the Lord. He happened to have played on the football team of that college and ran with the guys and lived it up, as they call it, living it up. And he realized, now that he had come to know Christ, it needs to make a difference. Before he finished college, he went to work for a company in the town where our church was, and it happened to be his hometown, and he was there from the grassroots. He watched the company grow and build into a sizable company and became sort of the state of the art in that particular industry. I'm being very careful not to reveal any identity here so that you won't have to worry about who he was. It's what he did that's important. They're now married. They now have a family. He's a believer. He's involved in the church. His boss is not a believer, but his boss sees his life and is impressed with it. And as a result, he watches him extra closely and notices he puts in a full day's work. He deserves a promotion. And little by little, this man who began early in his life to work for the company worked his way ultimately into the executive suite. He had no idea what that would mean in the days ahead. And he served faithfully there in that position, helping others, living for Christ, and really doing a great job as an executive for the company. My phone rang early one morning. It was a Saturday, and it was my friend. I knew his voice, but I didn't know that tone of voice. It was different. It was a little shaken. It was thin. And he spoke rather quietly as he said, Chuck, I need your prayers. I have a situation and I don't know how to handle it. He said, our company's plane crashed, named the time, very recently. I hadn't read about it or known about it. The owner of the company was killed in the crash, along with several family members, not all, and a couple of other employees died in the crash. And he said, I have just received a call late last evening from the attorneys who informed me that the company is now mine. Named the owner, now deceased, and he said, he has named me as the sole owner of the company, not a family member, but, and he paused and said, I am now a multimillionaire. And I don't even realize many of the things I'm going to face. I now have decisions I need to make regarding the company. All the employees are now answerable to me and the chain of command up to me. My family, my wife will be impacted. Word will get out as word always does. And I would imagine my salary will become public. I need wisdom because I know of situations like this where an immediate influx of money causes the family havoc. How often one wins the lottery and it's only a matter of months before there's a divorce or a breakdown in the family relationship or friendships are strained. And what he said, I just want to love my wife. I just want to love my children. I want to live for Christ. But now I've got this incredible series of decisions. I stayed in touch with him. I prayed with him. We met that morning. And we met later, talking further about it. I went with him through some of the decisions he faced. The former owner had always given copies of Playboy magazine as a Christmas gift to all their accounts, and he stopped that, and he got flack for that. And he changed up some rules about company parties that had always been true. He changed that, and he got flack for that, and on and on. But interestingly, the company flourished. And by the time he sold it and moved into retirement, where he is now, he was worth much more than he had gained as a result of the death of the owner. And he handled it very well. Now, why do I use him as an illustration? Because he had to learn how to live a completely different life. Oh, it certainly was a blessing. Certainly better than bankruptcy. Certainly better than losing it all. But if you think there was nothing to it, it just proves you've never entered into the world of the super wealthy. It brings with it all kinds of public strain and temptations, which have been his to deal with. It brings all kinds of flack. He had to learn how to live a brand new life and help his kids keep on living as they had grown accustomed, still having family meals together, still romanced his wife, still stayed true to their marriage, didn't let any of that go to his head, and he learned to live a different way of life. That is what I'm saying to all of us today. Because you, and I'm saying you generally, not knowing who it speaks to, but let's say it speaks to you, because you have trained yourself to live in 1 John 1:9, a victim of sin, a helpless human being that just faces it and falls into it, and back to 1 John 1:9 to find cleansing. And you now realize, as a result of seeing Romans 6 for what it says, you're not meant to live like that. That's like my living as a single man, even though I'm married. You don't live like a helpless sinner now that you're a believer. You're an empowered believer. You are able to face whatever temptation, whatever. Had a man say to me after the first service this morning, I need you to pray for me. He was being sent to another area where it's known for its lifestyle, and he would sort of be the only believer in that group. And he said, I know I'm going to face a number of things. I faced it when I was in the Marine Corps and was 8,000 miles away from home, and 97% of the people in my barracks had a venereal disease and shacked up with the Masons in the village. I didn't have to live like that. And I'm a red-blooded American young man, 8,000 miles from my wife and my family. I could have yielded, but I didn't. I didn't have to. I had a ring to remind me whom I loved and the one waiting for me at home who was equally faithful. You can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I left the island with a clear conscience. And I fell into the arms of my wife 16, 17 months later, knowing she could ask me anything and I could answer without any hesitation. I was true to you. Our Savior saves us for his glory, and then he leaves us. He doesn't put a protective wall around us. He leaves us in this world. And he says, now live for me. You be the salt and the light. You be the one in the school that lives a different. You be the one on the team that serves me. You be the one who tells the truth. You be the one who doesn't have the affair. You be the one who lives in such a way that people begin to notice that you don't cheat your customer or take what isn't yours or seek the credit. You're different. You know it isn't you, and you have the privilege of then saying, here's how that's able to happen. And you know what? That was my joy. Through those 16 months I was over in the Far East, I had the joy of leading 7 guys to Jesus. That doesn't sound like a revival, but 7 out of 48 Marines is a revival, believe me. And they trusted in Jesus. You know why? Because they had been watching me. And they couldn't figure me out. One guy called me friar. Another called me deacon. He didn't realize it, but that's a compliment. I was different. I wasn't. The Lord was through me. You can do it. I want all of you leaving this place saying to yourself, I can do that. I can say no. I'm going to. Because I know that I have a power within me, and I know that I have a new life that's been available to me, and by the grace of God, I can live in that light. I'm going to live in it. From this moment on, it's never too late to start doing what is right. From this moment on, I'm going to serve you, Lord, in whatever way I can. Keep me from being a prude or, flag waving, calling attention to me. Don't do that. No. Just live the life. Believe me, a watching world will notice. And like my friend who became a model of what it means to be rich and godly. Like a number of people who are wealthy and godly, even though the world will put them down for being rich, some actually earn their riches, and they deserve our respect. But to see them rich and godly is as amazing as seeing someone poor and godly. Our lifestyle isn't determined by our economy. It's determined by our commitment. I'll go no further. I'll stop there and say, the Lord Jesus Christ is ready to go to work through you. Just give him the tools. Give him your time, your thoughts, your actions, your decisions. Let it go. Realize that it isn't about you. It's all about him. Bow with me, will you? I close by speaking to you who do not know the Lord. My heart really goes out to you. I don't say those words in a judgmental way. I care about you because I know you can't help but live the way you're living. You're going to fight it the rest of your life unless you come to Christ. You're going to serve yourself. You're going to call attention to yourself. You're going to keep being enraged with your anger. You're going to hold grudges. You're going to lust. You're going to cheat and lie and steal. And you can't stop because you don't have any power to stop. So I invite you to come to one who can empower you to deal with all of that and actually say no to it. He can give you a whole new way of life, and it begins by your making a journey to the foot of his cross and saying, Lord Jesus Christ, here I am, sinful to the core, and I place myself before you. Please come in. Give me that radically transformed mind so that I can serve you the rest of my years. And I promise you, by your power and strength, that's the way I'll live my life. Trust him now. We're here to help you on that journey. So please connect with us. We'll help you get from here to there and ultimately to heaven. Thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus, your Son, our Savior, who lived among those who hated him, never really understood him, denied his real identity, and finally was nailed to a cross for us. We bow before him, thanking you for his model. May we become for you instruments that you use in others' lives. Begin to do a work within us, and by your grace, may we live a life that we've really never known before. And as we reap the benefits, may we give you the credit and the glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray these things. Everyone said, amen.
Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, Needed Changes When Living by Grace. It's the third study in a brand new 7-part teaching series called Living by Grace. To go deeper in your studies on this engaging series or to learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. As a complement to this study, Chuck Swindoll wrote a hallmark book that's helped millions of readers around the world. I use the word hallmark because many have called this particular book one of the most important ones that he's written. It's called The Grace Awakening. In this classic, Chuck describes how to break free from the tyranny of legalism. He teaches us how to infuse grace into our lives and how to give it away as well. To purchase a copy of The Grace Awakening by Chuck Swindoll, go to insight.org/store. And then bear in mind, it's your voluntary donations that make it possible for us to provide Chuck's teaching on your radio station, the internet, and the variety of outlets that feature Insight for Living. In fact, we couldn't do it without you. Rest assured, your gift will have a tremendous impact on those who have yet to embrace the grace of God. We know this is true because we receive their affirming comments every day. To give a donation today, call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888, or you can give online by visiting insight.org. I'm Bill Meyer. Join us next time when Chuck Swindoll talks about breaking free from sinful and damaging choices on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Needed Changes When Living by Grace, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.